Well, good morning. I have two confessions to begin the sermon today. One is that there is a mistake in your bulletin. I know, awful. The mistake in your bulletin is this: not the entire hymn of the day is printed. And so you actually need to use those fancy things called hymnals that are in the pews, the green ones in particular. Now, pay no attention to the hymn number, because the hymn number is from the red hymnal, and we do not have those in the pew because we're a little old-fashioned here at Epiphany. So you need to open your green hymnal to 229. Okay, you got me? Green hymnal 229. So it's all set up. Great. My second confession is this, and you will not be surprised, most of you, I think, to hear this confession, but it's appropriate for early in Lent to begin with confession, after all. And this is that I am a nerd. Yep, I can't deny it. I am a nerd, and I believe that I am not alone in this sanctuary right now in this claim. I am not the only nerd among us. I know quite a few of you are as well. I love The Lord of the Rings. I do. I love The Lord of the Rings. In fact, I love fantasy as a genre more generally, because when it's done well, it speaks, it is not constrained by the facts of history, but it contains deep truths about human nature and about the world in which we live. In most fantasy, in fact, they wrestle with power and what power looks like when it is used for good and for ill, which is very much at the center of the text that we have just read from the Gospel of Matthew. In fact, this is the gospel story that we begin each Sunday of Lent with. The first Sunday in Lent is always devoted to this story, whether in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, and it wrestles with power. Jesus is offered power in various forms by the devil. And like so many heroes of epic stories, he resists the lure of power. Is not tempted by the certainty that he would do so much good with that power. There's a piece written about Lord of the Rings that I came across several months ago, and it struck me so much that I have held on to it. And I will tell you that there is a spoiler. So if you have been waiting the last 70 years to read the last book of the Lord of the Rings, this is a spoiler. The hero of the story, there are actually many heroes, but the primary hero of the story, the hobbit Frodo, does not resist power in the end. He does not do as his whole mission was throughout most of the three epically long books, and cast the ring of power that has tempted so many, that has done so much destruction. He does not cast it into the chasm at Mount Doom to destroy it. Instead, he does what others have done before him, and he claims it for himself. But Gollum, the most horrid, pathetic creature in the stories, racked by his own desperate need for the ring, goes for the ring and gets the ring by gnawing off the finger of Frodo and plunges into the depths of the chasm. He gets the ring, only to destroy himself and the ring together. In other words, Frodo, the hero of this epic tale, fails. After enduring so much hardship and resisting for so long, in the end, he can resist no longer. Because Frodo is not Jesus. He cannot resist the lure of power. So that's it. Sermon over, right? Jesus can do it and we cannot. So throw up our hands and go on our merry way, counting on the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Well, that's not quite it, of course. Because we certainly try, don't we? Don't we try to use the privilege and powers that we possess, small though they may be, for good? For we are called to be the body of Christ in the world, are we not? Which means we try to do what Jesus would do, even when we know in the end we will and we do fall short. So what does that look like? Let's look at this reading more closely. Jesus is told by, it's an interesting character in the story, isn't it? It goes by three different names, even within this short story. It is called the tempter, the devil, Satan. But this character, by many names, says to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." What's the big deal? Jesus is hungry after all, and we all know how the rest of the story goes. You all have been attending church and listening to the scriptures. You know that eventually Jesus will do exactly this. He will make food where there is not enough. He will turn five loaves of bread and two fish into enough somehow to feed over 5,000 people. Why is it okay later and not now, when he is hungry? For one, later it is not at the behest of the devil. It's not to prove that he can do it, that he is powerful enough, great enough, and that he can match what the demon is asking for. Rather, later, he does it as an act of mercy. In other words, Jesus resists in today's story, and later, as we know the story carries on, he will resist in his rejection of storming Jerusalem or Rome with a mighty army behind him, which we all know he could do. And in his ultimate refusal even to save himself from death on a cross, he rejects power over others. The power Jesus claims is always power for, it is always as an act of mercy. The world we are living in has endless examples of people who claim power over others. We see it every day. The temptation us ordinary folk face is that we are tempted to replicate what we see in the world around us in small ways, with the limited power we have in our relationships, in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities. And for that matter, we are tempted to respond to the awful, despicable powers of the world around us in kind. We can just somehow think that we can be stronger than them, and we would do better with that power. If only we can outsmart them at their own game, we would do better. But no. If we are called to emulate Jesus, we must be driven by mercy. The author of that piece about the Lord of the Rings, It was written by Jenny Harrison. She points out that Gollum is only, in fact, there at the end of the story, only there at Mount Doom to complete the task unwittingly because, why? Because of mercy. Because years before, when others were done with the awful, despicable ways of Gollum and ready to kill him, Frodo showed mercy. And many times over since then. Finally, she says at the end of her piece, sometimes the most important moral decisions you will ever make will feel powerless when you make them. Sometimes the victory will not belong to your endurance at all. It will belong to mercy that looked like weakness years earlier. Power over would be... So, some of you were here on Wednesday night, right? For Ash Wednesday. If you weren't, I'll tell you that there was a woman who came into the building after everything had wrapped up and we were all getting ready to go home. She came in and she was clearly bedraggled, right? She was not at her best and she was looking for help. Power over would have been showing her by your looks or your actions that she clearly did not belong here. Or worse, by going ahead and ushering her out of the building, getting her out. Power four, mercy, was the kindness of several folks who did encounter her and showed her kindness. Mercy, and one person in particular who went out of her way to pack up meals to go so that she would have something to fill her belly whenever she could land someplace for the night. Power over would be finding someone you disagree with, but very easy these days, am I right? Right? And screaming in their face. How very wrong they are. Aren't we all tempted all the time to do so? Using your superior strength to intimidate them, or perhaps your superior intellect to belittle them, whether in person or behind the safety of your keyboard. Power alongside mercy would be listening with compassion to a different perspective and speaking words of comfort and hope for the vulnerable in the many forms it takes. Power over would be sitting secure in your relative privilege and ignoring the suffering of so many. Power on behalf of mercy would look like advocating for and serving the interests of any number of folks. Veterans who have not been receiving their proper medical care. Animals who have not been given a good home. Refugees who have waited for years to come here the right way, who are now being detained. Victims of trafficking, violence, addiction. Mercy. Mercy, not power. Jesus is tempted by the devil to take power and dominion by whatever means necessary. But Jesus knew there was a right way and a right time when mercy called him. As you journey through Lent, may you not be tempted by the loud and harsh world around us to respond in kind. May we lean into mercy. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.